Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If so, turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 12 through 16. 12 through 16. And I have entitled this message, The Age of Deception. The Age of Deception. That's right. My friends, I'm here to let you know, before we get started, that we are living in a time of deception. We're going to see through the Word of God what the apostles indicated what would take place in the future. And Jesus said just before he returns that there would be a huge deception around the world, especially in the Christian world. And we're seeing this right now. We're seeing people deceived. But Jesus also said that there would be a falling away. And my friends, I'm here to encourage you to stay strong in the power of his might. I'm here to encourage you to stay on the straight and narrow. I'm here to encourage you to lay aside every weight and sin that would so easily beset you, and that you would press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Why? Because we serve a mighty God. And God wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge. God wants us to discern the times that we live in. God wants us to see through spiritual lens, through our spiritual ears to hear, and our spiritual eyes to see what's taking place in the generation that we live now. Many prophetic, many theologians, many teachers that teach on the end times are all coming together in agreement and saying that we are living in an age of deception. And many are being deceived right now. People are being led away. There are churches that will never talk about sin anymore. There are churches that don't care if people are living in sin. They're cohabitating together, living, you know, like if they were married. And there's all kinds of manner of wickedness. There's abortion. There's homosexuality. There's transgenderism. All that is taking place without bringing the Word of God to correct their lives. They're just saying, oh, just come as you are and just everything's going to be all right. No, when you come under the anointing, God then gives you an opportunity to get right with God. That's right. It's about getting right or getting left. And I know you at home that watch this every week, you know where my heart and my teaching is that you would be on the side of the Lord, that you would be on the right side, meaning right with God, that you wouldn't be left behind. Can I get an amen? No one wants to get left behind. That's right. We want to stay in the will, in the center of his wheelhouse. Can I get an amen? That's right. Why? Because there is power there. There is protection there. There is security there. There is anointing there. There's provision there. Hallelujah. Yes, that's right. And there's also healing there in the center of his will. And so, my friends, I'm excited once again about this evening's message. And once again, I've entitled it The Age of Deception. So are you there? James chapter 1. Let's look at verses 12 through 16. And then we're going to allow the Holy Ghost to have its way. Praise God. And it reads, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does himself tempt anyone. Did you catch that, my friends? Jesus doesn't tempt anyone. Praise God. Look at verse 14 and 15 and 16. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his what? Own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Here's the key, my friends. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Praise God. Praise God. And so, this whole message this evening, it's about the age of deception. We are living in the age of deception. So let's break down the verses. We're gonna cover 12 through 16. So now, let's go now to verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been what? Approved, he will receive the crown of life. Praise God. Praise God, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Wow, my friends. You see, saints of God, the Bible deepens the meaning of how God blesses the people to include a deep joy that comes from receiving God's favor. Well, how many of you played football? How many of you played basketball, you know, and got into athletics? Well, as athletes persevere in training in order to improve their abilities and endurance for competition, so you and I as Christians, born again, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, we persevere in spiritual training as they patiently endure testing that will bring what? Maturity and completeness. Praise God. Listen, my friends, today's trials will seem like training when we face tomorrow's challenges. That's right. Listen, you and I are going to go through. We're going to experience things that we've probably never seen before. But yet God is with us. God will strengthen you. God will show you the right path to take. You see, my friends, the way to get into God's winning circle, how many want to be in God's winning circle, is to love him and stay faithful even under pressure. That's right. We have to learn to love the Lord and trust the Lord. Proverbs 3, 4, and 5, it says, look what it says. It says this. Just hear my words. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lead unto your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him. Who? Jesus. And he'll direct your path. Look what was written in the book of Job. Let's go there for a minute. Job 5, 17 through 19. Look at this. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Wow. Whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of Almighty. In other words, allow God to have his perfect will in your life, even when you fail the Lord. For he bruises, but he binds up. Look at this. He wounds, but his hands make whole. He shall deliver you 6 troubles. Wow. Look what King David wrote in Psalm 11, 5 through 6. He wrote, the Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Wow. You see, upon the wicked, he will rain coals and fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. Wow. Wow, my friends. Let me just pause here for a moment. We need to be praying for our country. And I'll tell you why. This is the first time in all generations as far as the presidency is concerned in our nation. It's the weakest that we've ever had a man sitting in the House. And I'm afraid, my friends, there have been so many prophetic dreams of prophets of the past who have seen China and Russia attack us. Oh, don't let it be so in this generation. Oh, we don't want something like that, do we? No, but I'm telling you, when you see a dog that's lame and sick, that's the time that you can attack that dog. Well, I'm just saying this, my friends, that when they see this administration so weak and so determined to destroy this nation for whatever agenda it is, that's when the enemies will come. And so we need to be praying and fasting. Can I get an amen? That's right. This is why we need to draw close to the Lord. This is why we need to come under his covering. Can I get an amen? Well, saints of God, There is a finish line to this race that we're in. And there are successes. That's right. How many of you want to be successful? And there are successes along the way. Spiritual progress has its mile markers, praise God. But the trials of this life are contained in this life, praise God. And someday, the test will be over. And the first chapter of James, which we're in, teaches us that God's long-term goal is for us to mature in Christ and be complete in Him. But His eternal goal for us is the crown of life, a rich expression of hope. Praise God. How many want that crown of life? I do. You know why? Because when I see Him face to face and He puts that crown on me, the Bible says many of us will take off those crowns and lay them at His feet and worship Him. Thank you, God. You see, my friends, the believer patiently endures by trusting God and will have a life that not full of glory and honor, because we shouldn't want glory and honor. How many do you think that you're here just to receive glory and honor? We're not. We're not to receive glory and honor here on this earth. We are to serve the Lord. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. But we, as we go through, we should be abundantly joyful and victorious. That's right. Standing the test of life gives believers even now a taste of eternity. Praise God. Look what it says right here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul wrote this as he was signing off. He was about ready to go to be with the Lord. He was going to be poured out as a drink offering. That's right. Look what he wrote. And this should be our testimony. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept what? The faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. I want you to catch that. I want you to catch that last phrase of this verse. He will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Wow. Wow. Did you catch that, my friends? Let me just say this. Every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning, when I conclude a message, I'm always reminding us of the taking away, the rapture of the church. Well, this scripture we just read confirms that those who are looking for His appearing are the ones He's coming for. That's right. He's not coming for the ones that have forgot about Him, who have walked out of the will of God, who have said in their heart, I did my time. Now I'm going to go do my thing. I'm telling you, saints of God, He's looking for faith. He's looking for those who would be steadfast. He's looking for those who keep their fire lit, who keep their oil full. Can I get an amen? And in order to keep your oil full, number one, you have to lay aside every weight and sins that so easily besets you. You have to be in Bible study and fellowship. You cannot forsake the assembly of yourselves. There are people that still won't come back. Yeah, you know what? COVID is dying out now. And yet people, I'm not coming back. I'm not ready to come back. Well, when will you be ready? Let me just say this. A habit results after 21 days of constant living. So whatever you're doing for 21 days, you will gravitate to that and it'll be somewhat customary with you now. So people, let me just say this. If you've been out of church now in fellowship for over 21 days, you have no desire to come back. Because you are now basically accustomed to that, of not going anymore. But God says, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves. And there are some people, they don't care what God's word says. This is how I feel. No, it's not how you feel. It's about walking in faith. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Let's go to verse 13 now. I'm going to move on. Let's go. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does himself tempt anyone. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? God's not going to tempt you. Praise God. That's right. He won't tempt you. Saints, we must have a correct view of God in order to persevere during the time of trial. Specifically, we need to understand God's view of our temptations. Can I get an amen? Trials and temptations always present us with choices. That's right. God wants us to make good choices, not evil ones. Praise God. Praise God. Look what it says in the book of Matthew right here. Matthew 4, 1 through 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by who? Oh, Slewfoot, the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, look at this, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came, say that with me. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. Did you catch that, my friends? Huh? Did you catch that? Look at this. Look how Jesus answered it. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, God used, let me just say this, God used the word. He used the word against old Slewfoot. Can I get an amen? And that's what we need. Our defense is the word of God. Praise God. That's right. And it's our shield and buckler. Look what it also says right here in Matthew 4 and 7. Jesus said to them, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. That's right. That's right. You need to learn how to rebuke the devil. You need how to learn to discern when old Slewfoot comes, because the battle is in the mind. That's right. It's in the mind. And he will come and try to trip you up. He looks for weak spots in your armor. He looks for little kinks in your armor so that he could slip in like a little slippery snake. That's his MO. You see, my friends, hardships can produce spiritual maturity and lead you and I to eternal benefits if endured in faith. But tests can also be failed, and I've failed many tests. I'm not perfect up here, but I'm striving for perfection. I hope you are too. You see, saints of God, we can give in to temptation. Oh, yes, we can. And when we fail, we often use all kinds of excuses and reasons for our actions. And listen, saints of God, one of the most dangerous of these is to say, God is tempting me. No, he's not tempting. We just read. He's not tempting us. Can I get an amen? He's not. That's not how he operates. And so, my friends, it is very crucial for us to remember that God tests people for good. He does not test people for evil. So if he tests us, not tempt, but tests us, it's for our own good. But old Slewfoot will tempt us to do evil. And even during temptation, saints of God, we can see God's sovereignty in permitting Satan to tempt us in order to what? Refine our faith and help us grow in our dependence upon Christ. Praise God. Because it is about our dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed to be a child of God. I hope you are. Now, let's go now to verse 14 here in James chapter 1. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. And what? Enticed. Did you catch that? But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. Wow. You see, our own mind, our own heart deceives us. That's right. There are things that God says, okay, go ahead and fall into that trap. I know he'll be there to deliver us, but God is always trying to help us avoid those situations of life. That's right. One of the things that I've seen and throughout my 31 years of walking with Christ, I've only been to three churches. And the churches that I attended, I noticed one thing. When brand new believers and young believers, I'm talking about maybe in their young adult ages, they get saved and they're so excited for God. And then all of a sudden, they get drawn away by another party, by another person. That's right. And all of a sudden, their heart changes. Instead of loving Jesus, now they start chasing after someone who got their attention. And so, unfortunately, I've seen this before. They fall away and they fall into a trap, and they realize that that person was a wolf in sheep's clothing. It was an infatuation. They weren't in love. They thought they were. And let me tell you, it breaks my heart when I see that. Why? Because there's some wonderful men and women that have the greatest potential to be used by God. And yet, they were driven away by their own desires, as we're reading right now in the book of James. It was their own lust that drove them away from God, from the will of God. I'm hoping that this message will resonate to those who are somewhat always being tempted, who's drawn away with their own desires instead of trusting in the Lord. My friends, God is with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? You see, saints, some believers that thought that since God allowed trials, He must also be the source of temptation. And that's not true. These people could excuse their sin by saying that God was at fault. But James corrects this, doesn't he? Temptations come from within. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all, desperately wicked. God said, who can know this? I try the rain. In other words, God already knows the heart of man and the thoughts of man. So temptations come from within, from the lure of our own evil desires. James highlights individual responsibility for sin, my friends. Desires can be either fed or starved. And listen, learn to starve those desires. Learn to die to self. That's right. You see, my friends, if the desire itself is evil, we must deny it. We must deny that wish. Can I get an amen? But it is up to us, with God's help. If we encourage our desires, they will soon become actions. Oh, wow, that's right. They will become actions, and the blame of sin is ours alone. We can't blame that person and that person. We can't blame God. We have to what? Own it. I did it to myself. That's right. The kind of desire James is describing here, saints of God, is desire out of control. It is selfish and very seductive. I just read this scripture. We're going to read it again. Look at this. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10. The heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to what? His ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Praise God. Praise God. See, God wants to help you and I. God wants us to examine ourselves. You see, God knows better. He created us. He knows us. He knew that we fail in the garden, Adam and Eve, and now sin, the sin nature has been passed on to us. This is why He had to send His Son, Jesus, to die for your sins and for mine. You see, saints of God, does James take Satan off the hook by placing responsibility for temptation on our desires? No, he don't. He does not. We may be led by our own desires, but it is Slewfoot, the devil behind the impulse when we're going in an evil direction. That's right. You see, my friends, temptation comes from evil desires within us, not from God. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? See, the unbeliever, the unregenerated soul cannot discern and see those things. That's why they do whatever they want. But you and I have been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We've been washed in the blood. We've been filled with the Spirit of God. So now God gives us a mind to be saved, a heart of repentance. Now we can discern good and evil. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Now, look what Paul wrote to the Roman church here. in Romans 7, 8 through 21. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. Look at this. How to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not do, that I practice. Wow. It sounds contradictory, but no. He's talking about this ugly flesh that we live in. Look at verse 20 through 21. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Wow. Look at verse 21. Paul wrote, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Wow. Isn't that something, saints of God? Huh? See, Paul was given that revelation by the Lord. Listen, let me just say this. Mankind doesn't know how to tattletale on himself. We can tattletale on others, but we won't tattletale on ourselves. Why? Because we covet. Because of our evil intentions of the flesh. This is why it took the power of the Holy Spirit to disclose and to expose the heart of man so that man can look within to see what's in man. That's right. It had to be a revelation from God, because if it was left up to man, he's okay. I'm okay. Listen, ask an unbeliever if he needs to be saved. You know what they'll say? I'm glad you found religion. That was good for you. I'm glad he found religion. Oh, yeah. And yet, they're going to hell in a handbasket unless they repent. Saints, hear me clearly. We can both build and bait our own trap. It begins with an evil thought and becomes sin when we dwell on the thought and allow it to become an action. Like a snowball rolling downhill, sin grows more destructive the more we let it have its way. Can I get an amen? The best time to stop the temptation before it gets too great or moving too fast to control is by the power of the Holy Spirit and the written Word of God. Look at what it says right here in God's Word in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation, say that with me, no temptation is overtaking you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Praise God. God, praise God. It is God Almighty. His Word, His Spirit, His love for us, hallelujah, will be there to rescue you and I. Why? Because we are weak in this flesh. Look what 2 Timothy 2:22 says. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. Those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Praise God. Praise God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you so blessed that God makes a provision for you and I? God is always with us. If God be for you, who could be against you? That's right. Listen, whatever God started in you, He's going to complete it. That's right. Even through our faults and failures, we're going to make it. You can make it. But you got to have a made-up mind. You got to press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. You got to understand that God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. You got to understand that we must lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. There are things in your life, there are things in my life that sometimes keep reoccurring, and they come and they challenge us. But this is the time to say, not so. Greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. We got to rise up and say, Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith, will defend me, will go before me, will tear down strongholds through the power of His Spirit and by the Word of God. You must believe that God is with us and He will never leave us nor forsake us. Can I get an amen? Somebody got to give God praise and glory. Hallelujah. Why? Because He loves you. He loves me. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I am so blessed to know that I'm a child of God. There's now a heaven to obtain, and there is now a hell to shun. Praise God. Thank you, God. Let's continue now in the book of James, verse 15. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth what? Death. My goodness. It brings forth death. Let me just say this. And we think it's sometimes it's always physical death. But you know what? Sometimes if we're caught up in certain vices of sin, drug, alcohol, womanizing, adultery, all these things, we may still be here physically alive, but you know what has been truly destroyed? Relationships. They die. It crumbles. No longer does your spouse or your children or people that you know, after a while of repetitive going back to, like the Bible says, going back to your own vomit, some people just give up on you and it destroys the relationship. But I'm here to let you know that God has the answers. God is saying, trust in me. Trust in the Lord. Turn and give everything to God. He will take away your burden. He will take away your fears and phobias. He will take away your addictions. He will cleanse you and wash you. He will deliver you. He will give you a brand new life. He will empower you, fill you with the Spirit. He will empower you and fill you with power from above so that you can be an overcomer. Can I get an amen? That's right. You see, saints of God, James traces the results of temptation when a person yields to it. Note that the first two steps in the process, evil desires lead to evil actions, emphasize the internal nature of the sin. But when we yield to temptation, our sin sets deadly events into motion, and evil actions lead to death, as I've been explaining here. There is more to stopping sin than just stop sinning. That's right. There is. You see, my friends, damage sometimes has been done. Deciding to sin no more may take care of the future, but it does not heal the past. That healing must come through repentance. That means a sorrowful heart unto God first, and then those you have offended. You know, there's some people that maybe you've offended in the past, but never gone to them and asked for forgiveness, thinking, oh, well, it's out of sight, out of mind. Well, it was 5 years ago. But you never spoke to that person once again or ever again. Man, this is when you need to come to Christ and say, oh God, help me. Help me to forgive that person. Help me, oh God, to guard my mouth. Help me, oh God, to bridle my tongue. This tongue can get us in deep trouble. That's right. You see, my friends, sometimes restitution must be made. As serious. And it is serious. How many believe that sin is serious? That's right. It is serious. And as serious as the situation and the remedy sounds, we can be deeply grateful that there is a remedy at all. Praise God. And there is. It's found in the Word of God. Let's go to Romans right here. Look at this. In Romans 6:15. What shall we say then? Shall we sin because we are under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know to whom you present yourselves? Slaves to obey? You are one slaves that you whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to what? Righteousness. Look at this in verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of what? Righteousness. Praise God. Now look what else he says. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of cleanliness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Did you catch that, my friends? Look at verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you are free in regard to righteousness. But verse 21 through 23, look at this. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to what? Holiness. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? Huh? Aren't you so blessed that you and I who have received Jesus, we've been given eternal life. And we can live forevermore with Him. We got one last verse of Scripture in James to break down. And it's right here in verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Do not be deceived. That's right. That's why we cannot be deceived. You see, saints, the first thing that Jesus told His disciples on the Mount of Olives was this. Let's go there real quick as we come in for a close. Matthew 24, 1 through 5. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came up to show Him buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. He was talking about the immediate temple, but then He goes into the future. Now, as He sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will what? Deceive many. That's right. That's right. You see, my friends, the danger behind James' warning to you and I is not to be misled, is the temptation to believe that God does not care or won't help us or may even be working against us. That's not the truth. The picture is not pretty. If we come to believe we are alone, we have been misled. If we distrust God, we have been misled. And if we dare to accuse God of being the tempter, we have been thoroughly misled. That's right. But look what God's word says. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Say that with me, saints of God at home. Do not be deceived. Okay, this is for those who attended churches that didn't preach truth, that were just a feel-good. Let me tickle you in the ear. Let me give you a sermonette. Let me make you feel good. I don't want you to feel uncomfortable about your sinful situation that you're in right now. There are big mega churches where people are living in sin, where transgressors and these transgenders and even the same-sex people who will not hear truth to repent. Listen, let me just say this. I want to make this clear. God loves His creation, you and I, but He hates the sin. So if someone's caught up in that lifestyle, He gives them an opportunity to repent so that they would be saved. But there are churches now that'll coddle that sin, that'll say, that's okay. That's how God made you. That's a lie from the pit. That is a choice. That's right. Listen, I said it like this, and I'm going to say it again, especially for those that are transgender. All you got to do is go into the restroom, drop your drawers and look down, and that's who you are. And if you are still confused, then you need to be delivered by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I get amen? That's right. God did not make a mistake when He created you and I. He made a male and He made a female. He didn't make nothing in between that. That is a lie from the pit of hell, and Satan wants you to believe that you can be whatever sex you want to be. That is a lie. Why? Because let's go back to the Word of God right here. I'd rather back God's Word through His Word, through the Scripture, than to give you my opinion. Because if I give you my opinion cannot weigh against the Word of God. Can I get amen? Let's look at this. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators. Fornicators is people living in sin, living with one another, having sex without being married. Idolaters, nor adulterers. These are married folks that are sleeping with other people. Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Did you catch that? Take that up with the Word of God. And a lot of these big mega churches are now hiring homosexual pastors. Wow, what an abomination. Let me just say this. Those churches have become the synagogue of Satan. That's right. I'm going to go boldly and say that. That's right. And if you're caught in that church, run from it before the judgment comes and falls. Why? Because you got to remember, when the angels came to get Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, as soon as they appeared and the homosexuals saw them, they wanted to have sodomy with them. They wanted to have sex with them. And God had to blind their eyes to get Lot out of there. And when Lot and his family got out, then God, He just fired upon them from heaven. Fire and brimstone. Listen, if He did it, if that's how God looks at that type of sin, He will judge it again no differently. Can I get an amen? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be deceived. We're living in an age of deception. And this is what this Bible study is all about, is that men and women are being deceived. They're being coddled to sleep. They're no longer the watchman on the wall. They're no longer calling out those things that need to be called out. There are men and women in your life, in my life, that are dying of their sin. And we need to be the voice. We need to be yelling from the roof saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. You don't want to perish. God's desire is that all men would come to repentance, that no one should perish. But the Bible's clear. Many are going to fall and slip right into hell. Why? Because they were deceived. They were deception came upon them. Well, let's continue with this. Look at this. No idolaters, no adulterers, no homosexuals, no sodomites. Look at this. Nor thieves, nor covetous, no drunkards, no revilers, no extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Did you catch that? It says will not. So if they are caught up in that way of life, and they remain in that way until Jesus comes, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, but the good news is this. Look at verse 11. And such were some of you. Say that with me. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Aren't you so blessed? Huh? Aren't you so blessed, my friends? It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Look at this right here. In Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from your yielding. Wow. Wow. My friends, look at this. Look at the background right here. This beautiful home behind me. But look up into the clouds as the sun is setting. Jesus is coming back in those clouds. That's right. He's coming back. And this is why He has me teaching these type of messages. Why? Because, my friends, we don't know the day or the hour when He will come, but I truly believe He's given us prophetic significance on the season that He's coming back. And we're seeing everything converge now. Everything's all coming together. It started with Israel being a nation in 1948. and everything else. He said that all the Jews that were scattered for over 3,500 years will come back to the land, and they're making Aliyah now. They're coming back to the land. They're coming from all over the world. They were scattered. It's all coming to pass. We're seeing the earthquakes, more earthquakes than ever before. We're seeing wars and rumors of wars, World War I, World War II, and all the other wars combined. We're seeing the plagues. We're hopefully coming out of COVID-19, but that's a plague. That's right. We're seeing many things that have brought deception. For this message was about deception. We're living in the age of deception. My friends, I'm crying out for you. I'm crying out for our loved ones. I'm crying out for those who do not know Jesus. Maybe you're just logged in right now, and maybe you don't know who the Lord is. I'm praying that God had you purposely click on this evening to hear this important message regarding your eternal state. God wants to save you. God loves you. God really does love you. And he's coming again. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, and he said it best. He said it just like this: "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Look at verse 15. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself," say this with me at home, "for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another." Aren't you so blessed, my friends? Aren't you so blessed that God is coming back for his bride? God is coming back for his church. He's only coming back, though, to those who are truly born again, that have repented of their sins, that have been washed in the blood of Jesus, and now are filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. A little simple prayer is not going to get you in, but a heart that has repented before God, and God has covered them now in his blood and filled them with his Spirit, those are his chosen. And there are billions around the world from 2,000 years ago to our present day. And he's coming again to take his church home. Why? Why is he taking us away? Because this world's going to end in judgment, and God is going to pour out his wrath upon this earth. And the scriptures tell us we're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. And so, guess what? He's going to change us. He's going to change us. He's gonna do something so miraculous, because remember, the dead will rise first. Then we just read, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. Are we going to be caught up in these bodies? Nuh-uh, not so. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I got scripture to back that up. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 15:50, look at what it says. Paul wrote and said, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be" what? "Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." Twinkling of an eye is faster than the speed of light. The speed of light travels 186,000 miles per second, and this is faster. "At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Look at verse 53 through 54. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that God is making a way for you and I? But my friends, Don't get left behind. Don't get be left. Please. I'm crying out to those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get left behind. Get right with God. That's right. Because this is about ready to take place. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Wow, my friends, are you ready? Are you ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Or have you been truly born again? Because that what makes us ready, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But maybe, just maybe, you're watching and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, was in the upper room 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. And the birth of the church took place. Jesus says, go and wait for the promise. What was the promise? The power of the Holy Spirit to come in and to change a life. A life that was walking in sin and now is walking in righteousness. All you have to do is this. Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. That means forgiveness. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? Huh? Aren't you so blessed that Jesus wants to save you if you haven't given your heart to God. That's right, and it's through a heart of repentance. Listen, if you're listening right now, I want to lead you into a sinner's prayer. All you have to do is bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Remember, the prayer don't save you. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that'll save you. So pray this wonderful prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Somebody just gave their heart to Jesus. Someone just got saved right now. Listen, down below right now is our website. Log on. Reach out to us. That's right. Right there on our website is our phone number and email. We want to put a Bible in your hand. We want to point you to the right church that'll teach and preach the unadulterated Word of God. We want to continue to sow into your life through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, my friends, we are so blessed because of your faithfulness, because of those who still tithe and send their tithing and their blessings, we're able now to go live stream, praise God, Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. And pray for Sunday morning. There's been a glitch with the new software. We're getting it fixed. Hopefully this Sunday there will be no interruption. But last Sunday's message, you can go back to Facebook or the website right down below. You see the website. And you can listen to the MP3 message that we captured. Well, my friends, it's time to sign off, and I'm so mighty thankful. I hope the Lord and the power of His might and the blessed Word of God has edified you this evening. And just remember, if Jesus is for us, who can be against us? We're His. We are the children of the Most High God. And so, on behalf of Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we want to say goodnight from this evening right here from Amazing Grace Studios. And I want to send out the Aaronic blessing to your home, that God will continue to bless your home. And so it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. And so, my friends, God bless you. We really love you. We can't wait to see you this Sunday morning at 10:30 at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. Until then, take care, good night, and God bless.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.